This is the Queer Wisconsin Oral History Project. I am here with Chris Haas. My name is Paris Bonsall, so I'll be the interviewer today, and I'm also here with Sam Fabel. And Chris Haas, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
I am a mother to 5 children, 2 of which are biological children. The other 3 are children who were born by other people that are my partner and I are raising. We live in Monona, Wisconsin, which is a suburb of Madison. And I'm a senior undergrad student at UW-Madison.
So Chris, can you please tell me how long you've lived in Madison or the Madison area?
I actually born and raised in Madison. Moved around throughout the city over the years, but never left the area.
Okay, so you have come out as an out lesbian, correct?
Yes.
So can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? First of all, you know, what was it like? And second of all, what was it like once you started realizing that you had an affection for women?
My childhood. My parents were divorced when I was really young. They both struggle with alcohol and addiction issues. So my brothers and I grew up here and kind of took care of ourselves. Give me a second here.
That's all good.
So that was like when I was like younger. I guess I realized probably about age 4 or 5 or so, I guess, was the first time that I ever had met anyone who was a lesbian. And it was a woman that was visiting one of our neighbors that I got to know, and I just thought she was the neatest thing around. Very, very nice lady. And then when I was in 8th grade, probably 13, I had a PE teacher that was very important in my life. She cared to ask questions kind of about what was going on in my life. The first person to ever really, first adult person to ever really care or to, you know, question me or my life. And she happened to be a lesbian. I had an immense affection towards her that I think that was really like the first person as when I was older that I realized that I thought that I was sexually attracted towards. I had never really given much thought to it prior to that. I had some sexual abuse as a child that I believe kind of altered my sexuality in this aspect that I don't think I ever really thought there was a choice in the matter versus heterosexuality versus, you know, being a lesbian. So questioning at that point in my life, but never really acted on it. It was just, like I said, this attraction to this one individual.
Did you have some sort of heterosexual attraction before that? Or opposite sex, or just sexual attraction was never even thought of?
Really, it was never really thought of. There really wasn't any, you know, sexual attraction per se prior to that. Even after that, I had male partners and ended up getting married eventually, but it was more, they're close male friends that I had really great friendships with that kind of turned sexual, I guess, is how I would describe that.
Can you talk about why you had a male husband, even though you were already considered yourself a lesbian?
At that point, I didn't. Like I said, I was questioning in, you know, like in 8th grade and whatnot, but never acted on it because I don't think I really ever had a group of people that I could, I didn't understand, I don't think I really understood it. All I knew was heterosexual couples. Other than these, you know, just a couple people. So when I married him, I didn't realize I was. I really married my best friend, and that was, you know, kind of how I ended up married.
How How was that relationship? Can you just talk about?
Yeah, it was wonderful. He, like I said, he was like my best friend. He knew everything there was to know about me and never treated me any less or any different. We were best of friends. When I started to realize I was working in a healthcare facility that had a very large number of gays, lesbians, and a couple transgendered individuals working there, that because it was so accepting of the workplace, I guess I kind of noticed it more and took notice and became that I had some pretty decent friendships for 2 or 3 years with some of these other lesbians and gay people. And I guess it kind of just made me more aware of my own sexuality. And I realized that that's actually was really the first time that I had, you know, an attraction towards anybody sexually.
When and where were these connections with these people?
It was really, either through work or through our kids. We'd all, go out and play together. They were friends of my children and, at the time, my husband. You know, we'd all go do things together, kind of as groups. We were all friends. And when I came out and told Dave, he was extremely accepting and understanding, wanted me to do what I needed to do for me. And he wanted, me to be happy and really understood, sometimes I thought, felt better than I did, how I was feeling about it, which was kind of an interesting, take on it.
And the kids, did you end up telling them sometime later? And
we told them, I guess I probably told them probably within 4, maybe 3 months of actually realizing myself and realizing that I was going to come out and that it was going to be affecting them. I told them the truth relatively quickly. As I said, they had met my gay and lesbian friends and had no problem with them, understood that some of them had kids, some of them didn't, some were biological, some weren't. So they didn't really have a problem with that aspect of it. They were young. They were in first and third grade when I came out. I think they handled it so well and was more concerned with, they didn't understand the future and how it was going to work with myself and their dad and how that was all going to affect them. And it really was that way. Even now, they're both very accepting individuals and have never had any problem, or anything that they've ever really voiced to me about me coming out. They were glad that I did.
So what was the future? Like, you mentioned now that you have a partner. Could you just talk about what happened after that?
Yeah, actually, unfortunately, I came out to Dave, and about just over a month over later than that, he was diagnosed with cancer. So he ended up passing away. Which was 4 years later, so I'm kind of ahead of myself. I had come out. He had accepted it. We had, we separated in residence. He moved into an apartment. And I was seeing someone else at that point in time who is not my current partner. And I saw that person for about 9 months or so. After Dave's diagnosis, a really good friend of mine, Nicole, was really starting to help out with the children and help out for doctor's appointments and that kind of stuff. And we just became closer. And then as Dave's illness progressed, I ended up, the other person that I had been seeing didn't want to be so involved and didn't want to have to deal with that situation. And Nicole and I kind of just started seeing one another that way, which was pretty incredible that we, took care of him, and her family actually stepped in and helped in his last days and stayed in his apartment so that he could stay home, which is what he wished to do. So that was kind of, it really solidified her family in mine and the kids' lives.
When that happened, did the kids react in you probably a positive way. Was there any other children or anything like that that happened after that?
Yeah, we have Nicole's niece lives with us, as does two other children that we have gotten from. We're doing an open adoption through members of our church, who was actually their biological parents, and they weren't able to take care of them, so they put them into our hands and into our lives. So we're sharing them, as the 6-year-old says, they just share me. So that's how we've come along with getting them.
So you sort of mentioned that until you got married, and even past that, you haven't really spent a lot of time thinking about sexuality, or especially lesbian sexuality. Did you still have any sort of groups or any sort of events that you went to that were LGBT affiliated?
Oh yeah, absolutely. We would go out with people from work, groups of people. We worked the third shift, so we'd go out during the daytime, which was always kind of fun. So that was different places we'd go around town. We'd either, there's Club 5 that we went to. We would go to, there was a couple other places downtown that I'm not quite sure the name of. Due to my family's history of alcoholism, I don't tend to really hang out in bars a whole lot. But we would, go to other people's houses and whatnot. We've done, we do the Pride Festival every year here in Madison. We go there with the kids and we do the parade and that kind of stuff. So we've kind of done that. And I have some family members who are also lesbians, and we kind of hang out with them.
How you seem like you mentioned work a lot. Where do you work, and why do you think it is as LGBT heavy as it seems to be?
The place that I worked was Badger Prairie Healthcare Center, which is in Verona. It is a nursing home that caters to, I would say, more of a mental illness background. At least it did back then. This was 13 years ago when I was working there. I guess I would like to think that there was a predominant number of lesbians and gay individuals. I think because people who have been put on the margins of society tend to take care of everybody else, and they kind of watch out for everybody else. And I think that they're an incredibly caring group of individuals, and I really think they kind of tend to gravitate towards, care of others. Maybe
one thing I didn't ask you earlier, I forgot to ask you your birthday. Do you mind?
Oh, of course. December 18th, 67.
Okay, so let's just go right back to the work. Were these people out as soon as you met them? Were they already?
No, actually, some of them weren't. I can think of like three or four people that I know that came out when I was there. But otherwise, yeah, the majority of them were.
They were?
They were already out, yes.
Was the care center, was that affected by this at all?
No, not at all. It was the first place that I ever worked that no one really cared. No one gave any extra notice to it. There wasn't the gossipy back talk, at least maybe not around me. Maybe it happened, but maybe I just didn't hear it. But they were just, like I said, it's just an incredible group of people that all worked out there together.
So 40 years, or at least how much of that have you spent in Madison?
44 of it.
All right. So how have you seen the community and the movement grow, sort of in Madison alone?
Yeah, well, I think that even just since I've come out, I knew you were going to ask me that, probably 1999,
okay,
roughly, I guess. Even then, as I thought it was accepting then, I think that people are more tolerant. I think that as we raise our children to be more tolerant, and as our generations, as my children themselves, have gotten this age, they understand that everyone's different, and that, you know, difference is what makes us all unique, and that, you know, we're not all supposed to be the same. I think that that has been a really big thing. I believe that Madison itself is an incredible community of really intelligent people, at least a lot of the people I hang out with. They tend to be intelligent. They intend to, you know, like I said, embrace other people's differences. I've been elsewhere, like on vacations and that kind of stuff, where I have, you know, physically seen that as my family walked together somewhere, that heads would turn and people would look to see two lesbians and, you know, three or four other kids trailing them, that it's an obvious family. So I guess that's the difference. I don't ever really feel that around Madison.
Okay.
I could be oblivious, like I said, but...
Have you ever faced verbal or physical persecution or abuse because of your sexuality?
Yeah. I've had people, like, you know, like yell things, I guess. One time we were out at Easttown and some younger guy yelled out, you know, dykes or something when we were walking out of the mall. And I don't pay much attention to it, but because my children were with me, you know, when we got in the car or whatever and everybody was in there and they were safe. Because that was my biggest thing, is because I had my children, it never concerned me for my own well-being. But I just wanted to get them to the car and get them in and, you know, lock the door as soon as we get in. And then we talked about it, and I just said, you know, those aren't nice words if that's how some people refer to your moms. And, you know, I would hope that you guys would never, you know, point out anybody else's differences and make them feel uncomfortable when you don't even know them or something like that. And the kids all seem to really, you know, kind of understand it. I think that they know. I think they sensed our tension in the situation. But other than that, I really haven't. I'm pretty lucky that way.
Let's see. So now you are a student here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Yep.
Can you talk about campus life as much as you know of it and how that has related to the LGBT movement?
UW campus is wonderful. This campus has an incredible amount of diversity, acceptance, I think, for everybody. You know, I walk around here being older than some of the, you know, the average student's parents. So, you know, I think for them, a lot of them either think I'm a teacher, a lot of them think I'm got to be a master, you know, a doctorate student or something. And when I'm like, no, really, just an undergrad. You know, I think that people, like I said, it's the intelligence factor. I think that if you're dealing with a caliber of people that can make it in to the admissions at UW-Madison, you're dealing with people that tend to be a little more educated about the ways of life. Not that they all accept it or that they tolerate it, but maybe their silence is more, is shown that way. You know, they're not the type, I guess, of people that are gonna call you out on something, maybe, versus, you know, I think personally that the older generation, like, you know, even my parents, they didn't understand. I think a lot of them understand more now. But down on campus here, I've been accepted and, you know, welcomed by students of all ages in all of my classes. I don't think I've ever had any problem with, you know, anything related to my age or my sexuality in any of my classes that I've taken. So it's really nice. Makes me think there's, you know, gonna be a bright future somewhere for all of us.
Awesome. You've mentioned that you were a church-going individual.
Yes.
Which came first, religion or homosexuality, and have they conflicted at all?
Yeah, good question. I was always taken to church as a child. Really wasn't an option. Did the first communion and got confirmed. And when I got married, I was married Catholic. And so that was an issue. When I came out, both of my boys were still going through like their first communion things in the Catholic Church. And we did get both of them. My youngest was actually in first grade, and that I think he went one more additional year to Catholic, you know, Sunday school or Bible study. And once I came out completely, and we switched, and we went back to Lutheran, which is what I was raised Lutheran. So for me, they kind of went between the two different religions, as their father was remained Catholic. So yeah, we really had some issues with the Catholic Church, because they had actually told my youngest son when he was in second grade that he, you know, your mom's going to go to hell because she's a lesbian, and you know, to have your son come home in second grade and tell you that, you know, so-and-so said you're going to hell. It's a little disarming. And like I said, that's when we decided that, you know, when my son could verbalize and said, I don't understand that, why God would make you go to hell because you love a woman. And, you know, and that's in second grade, so that's pretty cool. But for us, we go to Orchard Ridge United Church of Christ here in Madison, which is an open and affirming congregation and has been for over 20 years. Incredible group of people who just really are about, you know, taking care of one another, and, you know, regardless of anything, you know, just being decent human beings to each other. So, you know, that's wonderful. I've learned through education, through a couple different of my classes here, specifically intro to LGBTQ with Joe Elder. You know, more he touches on the Bible. He kind of goes through and explains some of that. That to me was really helpful, because there are people in my life that, you know, still, even they don't say that I'm wrong, but they'll still say, well, yeah, but what about the Bible? And I guess my kind of answer is always, well, I don't think God wrote it in paper and pen and published it and had it run at, you know, Random House or whoever publishes Bibles. I'm pretty sure that, you know, the God that I believe in is okay with who I am. So, you know, I kind of take it as that's man's interpretation of God's word. So
I think it'd be hard for a lot of people to disagree with you there. Now, can you repeat the name of this church again?
Yeah, it's Orchard Ridge United Church of Christ.
Okay. Is this a church that's, like, known to be a welcoming place for people of the LGBTQ community? Or was it just, like, a church that you found and you really enjoyed it?
We actually knew. Nicole and I had gone to a church that she was raised in, actually was baptized in. And she had never left. It was her home church. About a year and a half ago, got a new pastor that wasn't accepting of our involvement in the church. And we were quite involved at that point in time, as all of our children were in the youth groups and whatnot. And we volunteered. And he really wasn't, he didn't encourage that at all, and said that he really had no feelings towards gays and lesbians because he'd never known any. So we decided to start looking. And this friend of ours, who Nicole works with, is a member there and had kind of mentioned a couple times, you really should try our church, you know, and that kind of a thing. And so we weren't looking at that point in time. When all this happened, we tried like three different churches, and that was actually the third church we tried. And we went in and it just felt like home. Actually, our youngest son is of mixed ethnicity, and we came out of church that day, and he said, Mama, did you see that other brown boy in there? He has two mamas just like me. So for my son to be able to see a child of like skinned color or skin tone with two Caucasian moms just like him, it was really, how could you not feel welcome? I mean, when you're the youngest member of your, you know, your family, was so excited, you know, he wanted to know if we were coming back. So, in as I said, it is a predominantly, the United Church of Christ as a group is welcoming to LGBTQ members and their allies. So,
is it predominantly that though? Like, is it predominantly?
Oh, heavens no. Okay. There's even the founding members of the church. We have like one of the original founding members of the church that I know of, that I've met, And she still goes there, and she's heterosexual and is just a wonderful woman who just, you know, like I said, it's the intelligence factor. Some people are just, they just so understand that this is just who everybody is, and everybody can do good work if you allow them to. And she's been there, you know, like I said, for I think over 30 years, and that's just wonderful. And like I said, these people that are, you know, my grandparents' age, you know, in their late 80s and early 90s, who are so supportive, it just, it gives you, it makes you realize that, you know, it's going to be okay.
You're like, those are the real people of God.
Right? Yeah, you're exactly right. That's exactly right.
Okay. So can you talk a little bit more about how you and Nicole got to know each other?
Yeah. Well, as I said, we worked together, and we, like I said, we just kind of were hanging out. It was more getting our kids together because, like I said, we work different shifts, so it's kind of hard to have a normal, you know, hang out with your regular friends because you're going to work at 11 o'clock at night, or if you're working the afternoon shift, you know, you have to be at work odd hours when most people are hanging out with their kids. So that's how we ended up getting to know each other, was through you know, play dates with children that were in her life, and then the boys. And we were, as I said, when we first met, we weren't together for like 3 years. So we were just, you know, friends who'd help out, and, you know, somebody that I knew always could call on, and she would, you know, step up and do or ask whatever I, you know, needed her to do. So.
Okay. You mentioned that you're gym teacher in eighth grade,
mm-hmm.
was the first real sexual attraction, now that you look back at it, that mm-hmm. you felt like you had. Was Nicole the second? Oh, you mentioned you had a partner.
Yeah, there. I did. I had dated somebody before Nicole. And yeah, I think there was, like I said, the sexual attraction that, you know, that I'd never really felt towards a male. So that was there, with this other individual also. But it's intellectually and mentally with Nicole, it was more, I really think that people laugh and say that we dated for 3 years. We just didn't know it. You know, you were dating each other. You just didn't realize that you were, you know, you were with other people or something like that. So for, I guess, yeah, for me, I guess it was, it would probably be at that point that I allowed myself to ever really feel, you know, a sexual attraction towards anyone that was female.
Is the idea of sexual attraction, you mentioned before that you were abused as a child,
mm-hmm.
is that why you didn't dare think about it?
I don't know. I guess because I was sexually abused, and because it was, you know, a handful of times before I was, you know, 12 years old, that I don't know that I ever really got to mentally come up with, I don't know that I ever developed sexually. I guess I don't know how anybody else does it. So, but yeah, I guess I think that that's part of it, maybe, that it could have been fear, that it was just that it scared me, maybe.
Were these men?
Yes.
Could that have at all had to do with your attraction, the fact that that's what you thought of when you thought of men?
Well, I don't know, because I guess when I was married, I mean, there was sexual attraction, and there was, you know, there was a sexual chemistry between us, but it was him as an individual. So I guess, as you know, I guess maybe more for me, it's more the individual that I'm attracted to, maybe, and the sexual side comes along with that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of a hard one to, you know, to try to figure out when that kind of thing has happened, I guess. I'm not quite sure how things might have been different otherwise.
All right. Your kids, you mentioned that, how old were they when you and Nicole became partners?
They were maybe 10 and 12.
Did they ever get affected by the fact that they had two moms?
Not really. Because when my kids, both of my oldest, the two oldest boys, who are 19 and 17, They both were in the Monona Grove School District from pre-K through, which will be through graduation next year, the second son. So they've known their group of friends, and I've known the group of parents since that they're in the class with, since they've been in pre-K or kindergarten. So I don't think so. The boys have said, they've never been given a hard time. I know in particular that there was one teacher that my younger son had when he was in second grade, and she wouldn't allow me in the classroom, and which was kind of ironic when the year before I won Volunteer of the Year award for the school, and the next year they wouldn't even allow me in when I'd come out. So yeah, I guess maybe that way, but that I believe truly was the teacher, and it wasn't anything to do with anybody else. So
well, I apologize in the recording for skipping around so much.
That's okay.
I do want to go back into your childhood. Your family, now, you said that they were severe alcoholics.
Yep.
And how did that affect your life? Not even necessarily LGBT related, but just your life.
I think it made me really independent. With alcoholism and alcoholics, really the alcohol is what drives them and what's their focus. It's a disease and it can be treated, but my mother never was able to, beat it in her lifetime. My father's actually been in recovery for about 20 years. And my relationship with him is in good standing. But the abuse of the alcohol, I guess it made things different for us because, that's kind of what we did. Alcohol was usually involved in pretty much everything, from, Saturday afternoons to, on Sundays to whatever. That's what we did. Was if it was a family thing, it was we went and, hung out at the bar, or we went to a bar picnic, or we went to, a softball game where everybody was drinking, or alcohol was always involved, so that it was, we kind of took care of ourselves. And each other, which I think is kind of one of the things that's also given me my ability to care for other people, to see that other people have things differently, because it's equally with LGBTQ issues and alcohol and drugs, that kind of stuff was not talked about when I was a kid. I mean, I don't think I knew until I was probably in eighth grade that, there was other people that had parents who were alcoholics, or what that really was, that was, what was going on. I just thought that that's just the way it was. My grandparents had owned taverns, so my mom had spent her whole life in bars. It's really all she ever knew. So for me, I've tried to make sure that it's just not something that I choose to do. My brothers, one is a recovering alcoholic, and the other is drinks and can do it, responsibly and within reason, and doesn't have any issues. So it's it kind of goes across all of us that way. It's affected all of us, like I said, in how we were raised, that you don't, who to rely on and that kind of stuff, when there's not necessarily always somebody around to rely on. Kind of got to rely on yourself. So
how long did you live with your parents?
I lived with until I graduated high school. I guess I graduated in May or whatever and moved out end of June. So you
knew them for a while. How did were they the ones who got you involved in the church?
Yeah, actually my parents always made sure we went to church. We went, they didn't. For the most part. They were supportive, and I think that they both of my parents were, my mother had strong Catholic upbringing and my father had strong Lutheran upbringing. So they both were raised very strictly in the church, and both sets of my grandparents were pretty involved in the church. So I think they knew that was something that we had to do, you know, in quotes. But they weren't going to be the ones to take us there. They didn't want to be there. Okay. So, but that's how, yeah, that's how we got in, was through them.
So how did they and your brothers react to you coming out?
My mom told me that she wasn't surprised at all. She said that she knew, but that she was really glad that I'd gotten married so I could have grandkids for her. Or that she was, you know, really something to the effect of, I'm really glad that you got married though, so that you still got to have kids or something like that. And my dad, I think for my dad, I actually told my mom, then I told my brothers. And I think my brothers tipped my dad off, which was fine. But they all were great. My brothers were fantastic. They were absolutely phenomenal. And actually gave me a hard time for being nervous and worried. We all went out for dinner, you know, when I call a family meeting, they knew there was something going on. And I guess they kind of knew. They knew that what my youngest brother said to me, I had spent some time with he and his wife at the time, like a week later, and he had, you know, left me a voice message saying, you know, that was the first time in a long time that I've seen Chrissy, which was my name as a kid. Everybody called me Chrissy. So he was like, it's the first time in, you know, 10 years or 15 years I've seen Chrissy again. He goes, I haven't seen you so happy. So that to me was, and I was blown away because I didn't think I was unhappy when I was married and having my boys. You know, I was like, really? I didn't know that. That's terrible. And he didn't mean it that way. Like he said it was just, he just could see me again. He said, you know, there's a spark in you that hasn't been there for a long time. So, but they're wonderful. They're so accepting and, you know, they're really neat people. I'm glad that that was the way it was with them especially. I had one family member or part of my family members in my mom's side of the family that I was real close with as I was growing up and spent a lot of time with this couple. And they didn't handle it well. They didn't want me around. They said, you know, well, you can't bring her to Christmas. We don't want to see you kissing or touching. And I thought, well, I don't know how often when I was married to my heterosexual, you know, when I was heterosexually living my life, that I ever kissed, touched, or did anything like that at Christmas with my spouse. So I'm not quite, you know, I don't know what they thought I was going to show up and do. They actually, about a year ago, reached out. You know, we've done family functions and stuff. My mother's passed away, different stuff like that. And then this past year, they've actually reached out and asked if we would come up. And they've made an effort to get to know Nicole and my second set of kids. And so it's a work in progress. I still have hurt feelings because of the way they dealt with it. But I don't think that they knew any better. I don't think that they knew how to. And in all honesty, when I was coming out, I didn't take the time to specifically tell them myself. Their daughter is an adult. She was 20 or 21. And I was close with her. And we ended up speaking in person. And that's how they found out. So I think that, you know, I think that there's a conversation we'll have eventually that will, you know, we'll both sit all right with it once it's done and over with, but it's a work in progress.
Have you raised your second set of kids differently with you and Nicole than you did with you and, I apologize, I forgot the...
Dave. Not really. I mean, other than the fact that, you know, they're the, you know, third, fourth, and fifth children versus the first and second where you're still practicing and learning how to do things. As any parent will tell you, the first kids always have it the hardest. I think that, you know, just that they're probably more aware maybe that, you know, people have differences because they themselves have differences. As one has some mental disabilities and the other two, you know, are of different ethnicity than myself. So I guess that probably would be something that the boys didn't, being, you know, white heterosexual males. They were white heterosexual males. I mean, you know, they're just who they are in society. So I suppose that probably has something to do with it. But overall, not too much. You know, I still think right's right and wrong is wrong, and what's right today is going to be right, and what's wrong tomorrow. You know, that's a big thing that I really believe, that, you know, you don't make exceptions for things, that if something's wrong, it's going to be wrong every time that you do it, not just, you know, per se, like, you know, because I happen to be around versus if, you know, if Nicole's there. So that's one thing too, that there's, they don't get to play parents very well, because we're pretty stern with our beliefs and, you know, how we're raising them. So
now you speak a lot of awareness and intelligence and how that has helped you throughout your life process. Why do you think that intelligence makes you more accepting as an individual?
Well, I think some people cognitively can't understand. There, and that might not be the basis of, I mean, they might not understand a lot, you know, be it that they, you know, education and, I think that as you become educated, you know, you read, you learn, you understand, you can see the world at a bit, as a, in a bigger picture. And as you do that, and as your mind grows and as you grow, I think that it opens. I think that you see the wealth of possibility that's there. If somebody, you know, is unable for their own mental capacities or because they just have never been taught different, I don't think that they've ever been given a chance to understand the difference, maybe, or that to really realize that there is a difference or that there should be a difference. I guess, that make sense? I'm not sure.
That makes sense. So can you talk a little bit about your own educational background? Like, you mentioned how
we moved around a lot. We stayed in Madison, but I was in, when I moved, like, by the time I graduated high school, I had been in 13 different schools. We had moved into the Monona Grove School District when I was in eighth grade, and that was my 12th school. And like there was years that I had two different years of my schooling, first and third, I think. I was in three different schools in one school year. We moved around a lot because of, finances. My mom at that time was, you know, divorced, and, you know, back in the day when I was a kid, that was a big deal. I mean, you know, people didn't get divorced, and so it was kind of her mobility and the continual moving really affected me, especially for schooling, because, like I said, I'd move so much in a year, you miss so much learning that people are trying to teach you, but just trying to make new friends, adjust to your home environment, adjust to, you know, the new school, there's so much that process that takes for kids to learn that just being in a classroom and having somebody tell you things, you know, if there's not a progression as you've grown, there's a lot of things that I missed. So for me, eighth grade through senior year, I was in Monona, and that's probably where I really, like, learned the most, which makes sense being the years they were. But some of the basic stuff that I didn't learn, I was able to get help with through the teachers there, because they knew, you know, they knew that how my background had gone. I never went to college because nobody really ever said that it was something I should, could, or would do. So it just was never, I just never thought to it, really. We didn't have the money also. But so I went back to school when I was 34, 35. So I started at MATC. And I actually started with basic, like, remedial math that I took for no credit because it was so basic.
Oh.
Tell me, it's been rough. I've made it through stats, so I'm quite pleased with myself. So that was really hard for me. I always loved to read, so, like, the reading aspect and that kind of stuff, the understanding, I could get that. But so for me, I went to MATC and then had, like, a 3.87, 3.89 grade point average, and then transferred to UW-Madison. A couple years ago now, and it's my own worldview and the things that I understand now that I didn't understand then. Even MATC, one of my first classes I took was a human growth and development class. When I took that class, I said to the professor at the time, who was probably 10 years younger than me, I said, I can't believe the things you just taught me that if I had known before I had my children. Because at that point, I just had the two boys, you know, and we didn't have the littler ones yet. It was incredible to me, the things that I didn't know that I could have known just from taking a class, you know, that was offered at college. So that to me was incredible. That was really an awesome experience to be like, oh my gosh, they teach these things. So that's where I really learned to really, you know, to pick my classes and to search out and to enjoy, you know, what's out there to learn about.
And was college the first time you actually received education in LGBTQ studies?
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there was really nothing when I was younger. There was the most you ever heard about anybody being, you know, lesbian or gay was when people would make fun of somebody or, you know, they joke about the PE teacher who in eighth grade happened to be a lesbian, but, you know, hit or miss. You know, that kind of stuff where, you know, I remember in high school, you know, there was a janitor that everybody said was, you know, was gay. And but that really is how it was. It was never an educational type thing. I mean, I don't think it was ever, you know, anything was ever said like that about anybody. I mean, our big thing when we were being taught was we were learning education about African Americans and how, you know, maybe their struggle was different than the rest of us. So that would be, you know, that's what I kind of remember being taught more in high school.
Were you ever adept to the news of how the movement was growing? You know, was there a lot of commotion about it?
You know, well, because I live in Madison and a lot of stuff goes on, you know, downtown here on campus, even when I was a kid, I don't think I really knew about it so much as I, like, would hear things, like, in the paper or, you know, or I'd hear about it in the news. Different movements that way. But I can't say that really, no. Because I wasn't connected down here, there wasn't so much that I was ever really involved in that part of it.
So you never went to college. So can you tell me about what happened in that period between your senior year of high school and when you started going to METC, and what LGBTQ things happened during that period?
Well, let me see. When I guess after high school, I worked a lot of different jobs, like right out of high school. I worked in, you know, the food service industry. I worked at a couple different gas stations. So I knew LGBT people. I knew of them. I didn't, you know them personally or experience any type of you know, any of their struggles with them. It was never anything that ever bothered me. Like I say, I've always been somebody who's been so accepting of everyone else that I would never think to question anyone else on who they are or who they perceive themselves to be. After I got married, I was working for a bank here in Madison, and I worked with a gentleman who was gay, and he was probably in his 40s at that point, so he was probably 20 years older than me. And to watch he and his partner together, it was wonderful. They were just so happy together, you know. It was kind of funny. He was probably the first person to ever point out that an obvious afterwards that somebody was transgendered and I didn't realize. It was a customer that we had that I said it. I thought that person looked like somebody else that used to come in here in a car like that, and he jokingly laughed at me. He said, "Well, he's transitioning," and so I discussed it with him. And I think that that was incredible to me. I guess I never realized. Like I said, I was never, you know, other than the heterosexual normative, you know, sexual identity that was kind of, you know, out there on TV and anything like that. I never knew of anything any different. I'd heard that there was people that, you know, were transgendered, but I didn't know anybody or what that really meant. So, to have him kind of explain it and, you know, it made sense to me completely. And this was well before I'd ever imagined, you know, that I would be coming out. And looking back even there, I think, yep, I was awfully interested in that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's interesting, you know, that really interested me, and I really enjoyed spending time with this individual and talking to him and kind of getting to know him and his story. I know, like, some big things like that were happening, like Ellen DeGeneres came out on TV on her show. You know, she was a comedian and, you know, had never said she was heterosexual, but was put out there as the perception that she was. And so I remember when she came out, what a big stink was made on TV and how, you know, people, her show was canceled, you know, like a week later or something. And all these things that had come out that were real negative towards her for doing that. I didn't think it was right, and I'm glad to see that it didn't last, that, you know, that our conscious as a whole, you know, realized that, because, you know, I think that the more anyone can see people like themselves or that could possibly be like them, I think that the more people are just better humans. You know, if you can understand yourself better, you can obviously take care of yourself better. You can take care of other people and care about people better, I think.
You mentioned that you had a lot of interest in these issues. Now, did you have, like, a different reaction to when you saw situations like the Ellen DeGeneres show being canceled and negative things like that? Did you have more, I don't even know if anger is the right word, from that than you did with other bullying or racial misbehaviors? Was there something particular about LGBTQ issues?
I've always hated bullies, probably because I was always bullied. You know, because my mom was divorced, because my parents weren't, you know, people are going to be bullied